You know, when I got to campus, I wanted to make sure that I got acclimated as quickly as I could with as many different people as I could on campus. And one of the first individuals who I really built a relationship with was Tia Brady. At the time, she was working in our admissions office. And we were co-workers, but we were also friends. And it was interesting because by building a relationship with her, I kind of built a relationship with the entire Concordia community because she kind of was Concordia.
Tia was always willing to help, whether it be scorekeeping or statistical records or organizing. She really was, you might say, the glue that kept our score table together, because she would always organize that and get people to help.
She is just the kindest, just most loving and giving person. She's just infectious. Everybody wants to be around her. She makes everyone feel like, you know, you're the most important person in the room. And immediately I was drawn to her and we were inseparable. I didn't really know a whole lot about melanoma. The one thing I did know was that Tia's dad passed away from melanoma when she was a little girl. So I knew that it was scary and that it was definitely going to be very personal.
Initially, it was very scary. My dad died of melanoma, skin cancer.
She had surgery and she was in remission for about 3 years, 3 or 4 years.
Over Thanksgiving break, I had a craniotomy, and it was supposed to be 50-80% of the tumor removed, but God had a different plan, and so all 100% of the tumor was removed. It's hard. I mean, because I do think about it a lot, that I can't work and that I'm not able to pay for what I need to pay for, but I really do try not to stress about those things. I try to just get through this radiation and fight all this so that I can get back.
Just the timing seemed right to give her some additional strength and to let her know that her work here was very much appreciated. It was not forgotten.
I think that one of the really great things about Concordia is that people don't lose touch. These people are your family and you just are there for your family.
When you look at somebody's character, when you look at their personality, when you look at her heart and how loving she is, and you look at her faith, you know, I can say there's very few people in my life that I've met that are 100% as genuine as Tia Brady.
No matter what's going on in her life and how difficult things are from an outsider's perspective, she's always finding a way to lift other people up.
I've always found that Tia finds a way to make a little time for you or give a little energy. And I really hope that everyone that knows her will give a little bit back, because she's done that for us.
I can't even put into words the support group that is up here, that is in Austin, that is in New Orleans, that has just been carrying me through all of this.
You got a lot of people praying for you.
Yes, yes, and I can feel it. Yes.
Well, good evening. I'm Pastor Bill Dash, as you heard, from Mansfield, Texas, and I think we ought to pray for Tia right now. I don't know about you, but that really moved me in my heart and mind and spirit. And if you don't mind, instead of just starting a prayer before a sermon, let's start a prayer and just let's be one big prayer team right now for Tia. Father in heaven, we thank you, Father. You're such an amazing Father. You care for your children. You're loving. You're a good, good God. And we lift before you our sister Tia, Father, and we pray that you would just open up heaven and you'd pour down your glory upon her now. And I pray that as your glory falls and the light of your love falls down upon her, and as Jesus touches her and Holy Spirit, as you're moving through her now, I pray that you would just remove every form of that melanoma, that it would be cursed, it would wither, it would die, it would be gone, and that healing would just suddenly happen inside of her. We pray for a miracle, Father, that would defy the doctors, that everyone would say, this has to be God, and only God can do such a thing. Speak life and renewal unto this woman, to her spirit, give her strength and joy once again, Father. And as we come before you, there are many, many people across this world that are lifting up her up before your throne, Father. And as you love on your daughter tonight, we just ask whatever you have for her tonight, pour it down upon her bountifully. And we are bold to ask for this healing in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Well, what a delight to be with you. Thank you, Pastor Jim, for inviting me. What a joy to get to meet you. You just came back from Austin, you said, in the rain. And wow, you just went through a lot of storms down there then. We're glad to have you safe and sound. I met Richard Kurth back here. He and I served together at St. Mark Lutheran in Houston. We both were, I think, installed in 1983 in January. Is that correct, Pastor Kurth? And so they had put out a call for two different positions, thinking one of us would turn it down. We both, within a few minutes, accepted the call. They were stuck with both of us, and they installed us at the same time. Back then, Pastor Kurth and I both had dark hair. I was much slimmer. They called us the Luden twins, you know, from the cough drop, you know, that type of thing back then. Now it looks like we don't look like twins anymore, Richard. I'll say that. Definitely, you don't look like twins. You look a lot better. You're doing something really good. Good for you. And say hi to Judy for me. You know, I'm reminded tonight, before we open our Bibles, about an eighth grade trip that I took down to Huntsville State Park when I was there at St. Mark with a bunch of kids. And I like to fish, so I was walking around this wharf in that park, and everybody was fishing. These kids all had fishing poles and were fishing in the water off the dock. They were pulling up these two-inch perch, you know what I mean? Little old tiny things, but they were ecstatic. They were having a good time. And one of the things I like about fishing is when you take a kid fishing, it's fun to see them catch something. And so I was walking around and helping kids put worms on their hooks and everything. They had little bitty hooks, and there was one kid that was catching absolutely nothing. And I thought, everybody is catching a fish, and this kid is catching nothing. What's wrong? And I said, hey, what's going on? He said, I'm not catching any fish. I said, would you mind raising up your line? He raised it up, and he had a plastic worm that long on it. And I said, I see the problem. You need a smaller bait. And he said, no, sir, I need a bigger fish. I believe God is speaking to you in this church, in the churches all across this country, in a time when the world seems to be turning upside down, when darkness seems to be all over the place. And I think he's saying to us, you don't need a smaller fish, smaller bait. You need a bigger fish. You need to quit cursing the darkness so much and put a light up, right? We need to be the church of Jesus Christ. And I believe God's going to pour out his spirit in brand new ways. Things are going to happen in his church that we haven't seen in a long time. I believe the prodigals are going to come back. I believe people are searching for Jesus. People don't know it, but they're really searching for Jesus. Would you agree with that? And so I think that what we're talking about tonight is very pertinent to the life of the church. And I thank you when you said it is Lutheran. One time at a conference, I was telling someone, you know, Martin Luther prayed for healing. He anointed with oil according to James chapter 5. And somebody said, where? Went and got the book, showed it to him. And he said, well, I have to rethink my beliefs. I hope you'll rethink your beliefs tonight about praying for people in your family, for your children, for your spouses, for everyone, because I think God is raising up a group of people who will lift one another up in prayer before the throne of God. He's going to use those people to make a difference. We're going to have proclamation of the gospel and demonstration at the same time, and people are going to say, what is this? And we can say, it's Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. I want you to open your Bibles with me then to Luke chapter 8 tonight. You would turn there, please. We're looking at verses 22 and following. And while you're turning your Bibles there, let me just ask you, everybody get a whole lot of rain, a lot of storm the past couple of days? It's happening all over the place, isn't it? I saw pictures of tornadoes. I saw a lot of other things. I saw fences torn down. I saw debris everywhere. Let me ask you this. How many of you have been in a very serious storm? Like, how many of you ever been in a hurricane? Okay, you know what that's like. They can be. How many of you ever been in a tornado? Wow. How many of you have ever been in a blue norther? Okay, wow, you guys have been around. How many of you have ever been in a hailstorm? I'm in Texas, that's right. We've all been there. You know what? If you've been in any type of storm, you've had a little bit of apprehension, you have an idea about what we're going to see inside of this text tonight. Because the disciples are going to get into a boat with Jesus, and they're going to set sail, and there's going to be this squall. Now, what happens is the Sea of Galilee is actually, one thing says like 600-something feet below sea level. I think it means from the top of the mountains around it. It's really in like this little bowl, and the warm air, the cool air hit, and there's these sudden storms that happen, and they'll scare even fishermen you're about to see. It can be pretty, pretty tough. But when we look at this text tonight, and we see the storms the disciples are in, I'm aware that there are other types of storms that you're in besides weather storms. Would you agree that we go through the storms of life? And let's face it, a lot of people have storms in their life right now, and perhaps you're one of them tonight. Sometimes there are people that are going through a storm, and it's all about their body, and this ministry that I'm in, well, we call it Bill Dash Ministry, so people know where to look on the internet. We deal particularly with people who have serious ailments, and we love to see people come in who have no place to turn to see what Jesus can do for them, and we pray fervently for people every day, and I think there are some of you that might have those kind of ailments as well tonight. But there are people that are struggling in relationships, aren't there? I mean, sometimes as a kid, how many times have parents told me, I don't know what to do with my teenage kid? And sometimes kids have said, I don't know what to do with my adult parents. Sometimes it's financial crisis, isn't it? And this is a time when you got a job, then you don't have a job. You thought the company was going to be loyal to you, and no, they weren't. You know, there are all kinds of strains and pressures on us, and someone said this, either you're in a storm coming out of one or you're about to go in one when it comes to the storms of life. Would you agree with that? All of us know what it means to be in the storms of life. Here's what Charlie Brown said one time when he was on a beach. He built a little sandcastle, and he'd spend hours doing it, and then a storm came up. The wind started howling, the waves started coming in, and it washed his sandcastle away. And he said this, he looked at the sandcastle destruction, he said, I guess there must be a lesson in this, I just don't know what it is. I believe God has some lessons for us tonight, for those of us who are going through the storms of life here inside this text. So I want to invite you with your Bibles open, to just be open to what God is going to say to us tonight. And then afterwards, we're going to have a time of prayer. And we're going to ask God to quiet the storms in our life. We're going to ask Him to stand up and rebuke those storms. We're going to ask Him to heal us in our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. And I want to tell you, I am excited because every time we do this, something special happens. I mean, I have seen it. It is amazing what God does when people just invite Him to come in. So I can't wait to see what He's going to do tonight. With your Bibles open very quickly, let's talk about some lessons very quickly. First of all, storms come sometimes when you're right in the middle of God's will, when you're doing what God wants you to do. Look at our text, verse 22. One day Jesus said to His disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out, and as they sailed, He fell asleep. A squall came up on the lake, so the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. Jesus said to His disciples, let's go the other side. So they went. They listened to Jesus. They were following Jesus. They got into this boat. Sometimes storms come to you and me when we're following Jesus, and we're surprised. But Jesus said this, in this world, you will have many troubles. I'd like to believe, and I have a joke about something, because there's an evangelist. There's someone with a TV show. I love this guy, actually. And I know this family in Houston. They got this huge church. And he always says he's blessed and highly favored. Whenever I find a parking spot somewhere up front, I always say to my wife, I'm blessed and highly favored. That's not true because I found a parking spot. You know what's true? The fact of the matter is I'm blessed and highly favored even when I suffer, even when I'm going through trials for the faith. And folks, if you're a Christian, it's going to happen. There are times when you're going to be carry a cross because you're a believer. But there's also times when you've got physical problems, you've got other things, you say, why me? I want to tell you what we don't always know, but I want to tell you this, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're exempt from problems. Ask the 12 disciples, minus John, who lived much longer. The others were all martyred for the faith. I tell you what, following Jesus doesn't mean you're free from troubles. They got into the boat. By the way, the title of this message is When God is in the Boat. Why am I talking about Jesus? Well, let me tell you why. Because Jesus is God. That's why. The second person of the Trinity, begotten of the Father, before all worlds, God of God, very God, begotten, not made, being of what? Okay, you know it. You know what I'm talking about. God is in the boat. And here's one thing as we start and we talk about sufferings already. I want you to assure you, I want you to note this. Jesus said, let's go to the other side of the lake. I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to tell you the end real quick. They made it. Jesus said, I want to take you. I'll be with you. I'm going to take you to the other side of the lake. And I want to tell you, all the problems you got, no matter how big they seem, Jesus is the one who can get you to the other side. And I want to tell you this right now, that means eternal life. The Bible says these things are written that you may have eternal life. I want you to know that you can know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you believe in Jesus Christ. When you put your trust in him, you're saved by grace through faith. That's what Lent is all about. He died as our sacrifice in our place. But I also want to say this to you tonight. Heaven is your destiny, but it's not your purpose. Your purpose is to bring heaven down to earth. To bring the gospel, God's love, his mercy, forgiveness. To be out there and be the presence of God in this world. To take back the kingdom that the devil has stolen from us. To storm the gates of hell. That's why we're here on this planet, folks. And just because we have troubles does not mean that something's wrong with us. Although I'll be the first to admit, while I don't know why bad things happen to us, we live in this broken world and there is sin. Would you agree? Sometimes it's other people's sin. There's a lot of reasons. I don't have time to go on that tonight. But here's the thing I do want you to know. Squall came on the lake. The boat was being swamped. They were in great danger. Swamp means, who's got a boat out here? Anybody got a bass boat? So if your boat's being swamped, what does it mean about your boat? Water's filling up. Unless you got one of these boats that floats forever, it's going down, right? A lot of people get scared real quick. And I want to tell you, these disciples are scared. The disciples went, verse 24, stay there with me, and woke him saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. They're scared when they go to Jesus. Oh, when God's in the boat, people still get scared. Fear is normal. Just don't ever partner with it. Don't let it be your master. You see, when it masters you, when all you do is live in fear and all you think is fear, you partner with the devil. But when you say, fear, you don't belong in my life, Jesus is bigger than that storm, then the devil knows and sees his judgment coming. He's reminded that judgment is going to fall upon him, and he can't destroy you. You know, I read about Peter, where Peter was walking one time, and his shadow, people were healed when they walked, his shadow touched people. You remember that in the Bible? You remember that? You see, what overshadows you is what happens in your shadow. He was walking with Jesus, and the Spirit of Jesus was on him. The Holy Spirit was strong upon him, so people could even get in his shadow. And I want to ask you this tonight. When it comes to fear, what's overshadowing you? When people walk in your shadow, what do they experience? Perfect love cast out fear. Whoever said that wasn't married, right? I mean, I'm married to a wonderful woman. I love her, but I'm scared of her. When it comes to God, I thank God. He loves me with an unconditional love, and I don't have to have fear now or ever. I can rebuke that fear. And whenever all I do is think about fear, fear, look how bad this is, look what's going to happen to me. My body gets that way. My spirit gets that way. You see how these disciples were getting? Yeah, don't let fear become your master. But look what they did in verse 24. They went to Jesus when they were scared. That's what happens when God's in the boat. You go to Jesus. When you got troubles, yeah, what do we sing? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we often bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Take it to Jesus. That's what this is saying. When God's in the boat, talk to him. We're going to drown. And look what he did. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Wow. Wow. You know, we wonder, Jesus, are you asleep? Where are you? Where are you? You know what? He's there all the time. Where was he when this happened to me? Where was he when this went on in my life? Let me tell you where he was. He was there right with you. I don't understand why he didn't act right then, but he's acting right now. I want to tell you this, he loves you. When he looks at you, it's like Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he predestined us to do. You know what that means is, God's workmanship, you are God's treasure. God loves you. That's why he gave Jesus to die in your place. You understand how important you are to him? Paul says that we have this treasure in clay pots, and some of you are crackpots, you're chipped, you know. We're a mess, aren't we? But you're God's treasure. He just loves you with an everlasting love. And you know what? No matter what you're going through, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. God's been with you wherever. Don't worry about it. He's got you. He'll carry you. What a great God we have. And isn't that just like him to get up in our time of trouble? Certainly for our sins when he died on the cross, but little things are going in your life. He's concerned about those as well. He rebuked the wind, the raging water, storms aside. All was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. I think he was saying, why didn't you guys calm it? Now, that's a tall order. I'll be honest. I got a bass boat, and I've been in some rough water. I never thought about standing up and saying, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, waves. I may have to try it sometimes. My boat is kind of small, and it appears to get swamped kind of easily, it looks like, sometimes. I've been pretty scared. I've never tried that, have you? But you wonder why not. If the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us, why don't I start thinking about getting a bigger fish? Why don't I start doing greater things for God? Why am I limiting myself? Why do I hold myself back? And what if God is calling me to do even greater things? In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Well, let me tell you who he is real quick. He's Jesus Christ. Second person of the Trinity. He's God. Sits at the right hand of the Father. He's one who gave his life for you, and one day he's going to come back and take all of his children home. He's going to present you before the Father faultless, because you'll be wearing his righteousness. By his stripes we are healed. And oh, what a joy. But I want to tell you right now what he wants to do with you tonight. He wants to be inside of you, but he wants out. He wants out into this world. He gave us a great commission, and his last command ought to be our first priority, right? We need to go out and reach people for Jesus Christ. We need to proclaim the gospel and demonstrate it. Show it what Jesus can do. And tonight, you're going to get to see what Jesus is going to do. We're going to be praying for you. You're going to have prayer teams up here. And when you come up, when we announce it's time to come up, you'll be coming up as the Spirit leads you. You'll kneel here. People are going to ask you, what would you like for Jesus to do for you? May we anoint you with oil. And then may we touch you. And get ready for something to happen. When Jesus is in the boat, when God's in the boat, oh, I don't know if you've ever experienced his presence, but he shows up. And he's going to do something special.